Pastor Todd asked me to preach. I've put him off the last couple of years, but I felt like I ought to. He kind of convicted me, and I left, and I said, no, no way. And by the time I drove home, God said, go back and tell him you can preach. Well, I'll fill the pulpit. You guys decide whether I can preach or not, okay? We're in a series, so he gave me some stuff to read so I can catch up. I've never read The Shack. I've never went to the movie. I don't know about it, okay? But he showed me the clip we're going to see today a little bit. So the question we're trying to answer today is number four in the series, how can I know the heart of the Father? Now, I always have to translate things so I understand it better. So this is what I see. Seeing our life the way God does, or maybe getting God's perspective on things, or maybe the old saying we had back in the 70s, walk a mile in his shoes. That goes a long way when we try to see things from someone else's perspective. Because what Mac in the movie is doing, he's a little upset at God. And through it, I think he's learning how to see things from God's perspective. See, and Mac had reason, and we all have reasons to be a little bit upset. Now, in the movie, I guess he faced some family tragedy. I don't know what the tragedy is, okay? I don't know, the clip tells it. Maybe you guys already know. I know you're looking at me, this guy's preaching, he's ignorant of what he's talking about. Yeah, true, true, true. Okay? So anyway, Mac went in a downward spiral. You know, you live in your head, and when something bad happened in his family, all of a sudden he visited all the terrible things that happened in the past. You've taken that trip down memory lane, the bad trip. We all like the good trip down memory lane, the fun things. But sometimes we get in a place where we're upset. We don't think God loves us. We sing the little song, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms. Pity party. He was in the downward spiral. And that downward spiral ends up in what we would technically call today depression. And depression is simply this, being angry about where you're at in life. And you're angry at God, but we all know we can't be angry at God. He's perfect. And so that anger gets turned inward. And that's where Mac's at. And the reason we get there is because we want to be the judge. We are angry for God not doing the job the way we told him to do it. Right? Have you ever tried commanding God? If I was God, things would be a lot different. Right? You ever kind of thought that? You don't dare say that out loud. Truth is, if we were all God, there would be a lot of people sent to hell a lot quicker. God's a lot more merciful than we are. Just think the last time you had a touch of road rage, okay? That isn't a left turn signal. Never mind. I won't give you any visuals on that. The question is really this. How do we move past our anger and understand life from God's perspective? And I think we're going to watch that clip right now.
Do you want me to say it? Absolutely. God is to blame.
Well, if it's so easy for you to judge God, you must choose one of your children to spend eternity in heaven. The other will go to hell.
Well, all of us men can identify with a woman giving us such an ultimatum. Hard choices, right? Mac's upset at God. And he's upset because he doesn't think God's doing his job right. And so he's given a little dose. Okay, you pick. You pick between two children you desperately love. And if we get just a little touch of that, that starts to answer, how can I know the heart of the Father? He loves us all the same. Well, Mac is depressed. He's angry. He's put himself in the seat of judgment. And he's got to get beyond the blame that he is pushing towards God. When we start blaming others, we've put ourselves in the place of judge. And when Max said, absolutely, God is to blame, he was expressing his feelings. And we've all had those feelings at times, but we're afraid to put it into words. So how do we get past this? Well, you need to tell yourself one thing. I've just heard the name Cheech and Chong. Any of you ever heard of Cheech and Chong from back in the 70s? I think there's guys that like doing illegal stuff, and I think they were a little bit Hispanic or something. And I just remember a phrase. I was in college, and the phrase was, it's not my job, man. Okay, how do we get past the judgmental attitude, or when we're ticked at God, he's not doing the things we want? We need to tell ourselves, it's not my job. I can't attain that pay scale in the workforce. It's not my job. We have a society full of people that want someone to do something because we set ourselves up as judges. That's why we have litigation going like crazy. That's why we get so upset about politics and all that stuff, because we're trying to reach beyond what is our job. We need to do what God has assigned us to do where we are at. And the final judgment lies in God's hands. James chapter 4, verse 12 puts it this way. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, we could go off on a lot of tangents right there, but we need to know the crux of that God is the final judge. And yes, we are tempted to be mad at God, but we're also tempted to be mad at a lot of people around. We need to pray for those that we're having trouble with, whether they're not following our lead, they're not connecting the dots, or they're being mean to us. But more than that, we need to say, God, you're the final judge. I'll let it rest till your judgment time. So we get past some of the blame game. And when we're in the blame game, when we're angry, we're all upset. We're not happy. We're not joyous. Life's not good for us. We just need to simply tell ourselves, it's not my job. And secondarily, we need to not just say that, but we need to physically almost, sometimes we need to physically, we need to let it go. Let go of it. Envision yourself letting go of that argument you're having with God. Let go of that disruption in your life, that thing that just isn't going right. Let it go. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your anxiety or cares on him because he cares for you. Let it go. I want to tell you this. You ever played with a dog and it's had some toy and you try to get it from it and you say let it go? Because you just soon have it let it go so it doesn't get slobber all over in your hands and all that fight, you know. Let it go and I'll throw the ball for you again. Sometimes we're like the dog. We won't let it go. We are denying ourselves the fun the master wants us to have when we keep hanging on to stuff we should just let go. See, the dog has to trust that you're going to throw that ball again, and we got to trust that God can handle it. We need to let it go. There's a lot of stuff that we're hanging on to that we need to just let go. Romans 12:19. And you got 12:9. That's a nice verse there, but it's the wrong one. We're blaming Pastor Todd on that one because I did give him clear notes that he copied. Taylor, don't tell him. He'll be crushed. You understand Todd cares about this much about what I think, right? You know the feeling. Okay. Anyway, I'm just making a correction. It's Romans 12:19 says this, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We got to let it go. We got to let it go. There. How many of you have executed vengeance because you're really ticked off? You gave someone a piece of your mind. If you're like me, there's not enough pieces to go around. You should keep them all yourself. Okay? And guess what? After we do it, we try to justify it by telling other people what we did so they pat us on the back. That's okay. No, it ain't okay. It ain't okay. Don't avenge yourselves. Let it go. And then we're starting to get to the point where the justice meets mercy. Start coming together when we're able to let it go. But we also have another battle. There's a battle in our mind because we can go through this. We can say, it's not my job. I'm going to let it go. We go to prayer. We give it over to God. But the devil's always going to keep talking to us. And we need to resist the lie. Mac, at one point, I think somewhere in the movie, says, why is God so mean? See, questioning the goodness of God is one of the devil's oldest tricks. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 through 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What the devil is doing there to Eve is questioning the goodness of God. And even after you try to let go of the anger and disappointment in your life, to let go of that judgmental attitude, the devil will say, God's not good. God's not going to take care of it. God's going to be way too slow, and he's not going to do as good a job as you would do with that. You just can't trust God. See, and the lie in there was, did God say you can't eat of any of the trees? She said, no, there's just that one in the middle we're not supposed to eat of. See, he's bringing into doubt in her mind. And that's what the devil will do. He will keep bringing doubt up in your mind. Well, I gave that to God 2 weeks ago, and he still hasn't fixed it. You know, some people view talking to God like trying to get a plumber to show up. I work with a plumber sometimes. They get a lot of complaints. Right, Julie? I work for a plumber that's worked for Julie before. Long time ago, maybe. Okay, well, the plumber thought you were one of the nicer customers, I guess. I'm not giving out names. You can tell later. Well, I guess you made an impact on that person because you were so nice. But the devil tries to get us off track, tries to doubt, to have us doubt the goodness of God. Psalm 103:13 says this, and I think we can identify with this as parents. As a father shows compassion to his child, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You know, there's no one that can love a child quite like the parent and have a little mercy and have a little understanding. I want you to know God understands you better than you understand yourself. And he's pulling for you. And he wants you to live at peace. He wants you to be calm. He wants you not to be angry or depressed. He wants you to turn over those things. They're just sucking the life out of you. Mac in that movie was dealing with a lot. Terrible tragedies. And God was pulling to bring him through. But after we work at trying to get beyond blame, we have to see that grace comes from love. So really, to make it clear to me, I changed that title. Trade in judgment for grace. It's like we got a used car we got to get rid of, my judgmental attitude. I want to trade that in for a nice smiley face sticker to put on me. You know, I need a change of attitude. I need to adjust my attitude. So we need to trade things in. Sometimes we get so caught up in a pattern of our life. Sometimes we need renewed. We need to let go. We need our attitude completely changed. But we have to trust that grace is right. And that's where the trouble is. We're made in God's image so we can think. We can analyze. And sometimes our thinking's a little skewed. Sometimes we think we're in control. And sometimes we have doubt. But we need to trust that grace is right, that it is fair, that it is just. See, he wants to show grace. God wants to show grace to everyone. That's his desire. That's his heart, to show grace. Now, sometimes we want grace for ourselves, but we wish God was a little not so gracious to some other people. Back to the old thing where we're judging. If I were God, things would happen quicker. God is slow. God is patient, not willing that any should perish, as it says in Peter, but that all should come to repentance. God sees the long view. He sees the big picture. But we need to trust that grace is right. And he wants to show us grace. Exodus 34, verse 6, the last part of the verse. This is where Moses really wanted to see God. And God said, well, I'll let you see me, but I'll have to put you here. And you're only going to see my backside when I come by. I'm going to cover you with my hand and all this. But this is what he says about himself. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's what God's saying about himself, that he's Lord, that he's merciful, that he's gracious, that you can count on him. He will be faithful. Again, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, it says this, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. God is seen as God in the God that he is when he shows mercy. We should see things God's way. God wants to show mercy. Our tendency is to favor on the justice part. Make things right and hurry up. God says, I can be slow. I can be patient. I can show mercy. And in the showing of mercy, it says, he exalts himself. You know what the people we really like are the people that have good reason to be pissed at us, and they're not, and they're kind to us. Have you ever really screwed something up? No, this is the perfect church. I forgot. Dang. It's a church I preach at 11 that's not very perfect. And that is no tongue in cheek. They're led by me. But God shows mercy. And we love it when we receive mercy from someone. And guess what? People really love us when we act like God and we show mercy to them. Grace working in you looks like this. John chapter 8, verse 7. The woman caught in adultery, the setup and all that. The last part of verse 7, you get the whole verse up there. But this is what Jesus said. It's in red letters in my Bible. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. For grace to work in us, we all have stones, we all have rocks, we all have arms we could throw them. God is simply saying, drop the rock. Drop the rock. You may have in your power and ability to do something to harm someone or to put judgment on them or hurt them in their career or something because you don't like them or they've done something nasty to you, but you also have the power to drop the rock. And that's showing grace. Giving like God gives. Giving someone just as God has given each of us. He's dropped the rock. He's given us grace. I think each of us can see that God has been kind to us. Even when we're upset about things in our life not going well, when we want to take on the role of judge, God says, but look at my grace. When we start seeing God's action of grace in our lives, it kind of softens us. And when we're softened a little, when we realize I'm a sinner like everyone else, I needed forgiveness like everyone else, I needed grace, graciousness from others and God, just like everyone else, I should give what I have received. And that's God's grace. So how do we connect with the Father's heart? Well, we have to want to. We have to let go the judgmental attitude. We have to believe in the goodness and the grace of God. And then we have to put a little effort. My dad had this saying. He used to say it. He's 84 now. He's getting a little older. He doesn't do it. He's got a little, he's just getting older, and he's not quite so snappy about things. But he used to have this saying he'd say to me once in a while, and my brother, and it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it was getting to the point when we got a little out of line. I think maybe I get out of line more than my brother. I don't know. But my dad used to say this, and he'd kind of smile and twinkle in his eyes after this. You could be a lot more like me if you tried. Which was his way of saying, you're thinking all wrong. You're really screwed up right now, but I'm not going to be mean to you. But you know, the Apostle Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Oh, there it is. Just popped up. She's really good on that thing back there. Better than I could ever be. This is what Paul said. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul's saying, my dad's translation, you could be a lot more like me if you tried. And you know what? That's really what God's saying. I made you to be like me. I call you my sons and daughters. You were made in my image. You can be gracious and kind and loving. Is life hard? Yes, it is. Is it unfair at times? Yes, it is. But you can act like me. You can have my heart. So really, it is our choice to see it from God's perspective, to do things God's way. And I think a good verse in closing to help us is John 3:16 and 17, where it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So, how can I know the heart of the Father? Jesus. That really shows God's heart. That he gave his Son. He didn't have to. But that was his love, and that was his heart. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It hurt so bad that God had to turn his back on his own Son. All our sin was put upon him. He that was without sin bore our sin on the cross. God, in that point, gave up the judgment upon us and allowed it to fall on himself, his Son. That is grace, and that is love. And sometimes when we're upset about the way things are going in life, we need to think about God. He did what he said. He doesn't ask us to do something he hasn't already done. But he encourages us that we can be like him. And we can drop the rock show grace and love and leave in God's hand the final decisions of all. And if we do that, we can rest in His peace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You are gracious and kind, that You are merciful and slow to anger, and that You are patient with us. Help us to receive all that You offer to us, and help us to act upon that by faith in Jesus. Amen.